from D. James Kennedy Ministries. This is Kennedy Classics. Welcome to Kennedy Classics.
Hello, I'm Frank Wright, president of D. James Kennedy Ministries. Welcome to Kennedy Classics, which is a viewer-supported outreach. Before we begin today, I need to take a moment to apprise you of a situation we're experiencing here at the ministry. We are in the midst of a financial crisis. 2016 was a difficult year economically. Giving was down as many people diverted their resources towards the election. But now we actually face the possibility of having to cut back on programs, production, and broadcast outlets. We do not want to do that, so I'm asking you today, please contact us with a generous donation to help us make up this shortfall. We really need to hear from you right away, so please write to us at D. James Kennedy Ministries, Box 11164, Fort Lauderdale, Florida, 33339. Or you can call us toll-free at 888-332-3069. And, of course, you can go online to djkm.org. How can you tell if someone is a Christian? Now, some might say, what do you mean? How can you tell? I was born in a Christian home. Of course I'm a Christian. Well, not so fast. Being born in a Christian home does not make you a Christian. If a cat gives birth to a litter of kittens in a warm oven, that does not make them muffins. Your birth family does not make you a Christian. So how can you tell if someone is a Christian? Well, let's first ask, how does anyone become a Christian in the first place? Simply put, when we acknowledge ourselves as sinners in the sight of a just and holy God, and when we repent of our sins, trusting in Jesus Christ as the one who bore the penalty for sin in our place, then by God's sovereign grace, we become His children by faith. So how can you tell if anyone has done that? Well, Jesus tells us in John chapter 15, He said, "By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, and so prove yourselves to be my disciples." In the case of Abraham Lincoln, his Christian faith has been questioned over this very issue. Was there enough spiritual fruit in his life to justify calling him a Christian? Well, here is Dr. D. James Kennedy with the answer in his message, Was Abraham Lincoln a Christian?
And now may we hear the word of God as it's found in the book of Romans. Romans chapter 5, beginning with verse 1. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand, and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And not only so, but we glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope, and hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost which is given unto us. For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commendeth his love to us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And may God speak to our hearts and minds this day through his holy word, and may his name ever be praised. Amen. Lincoln delivered at Gettysburg what has been frequently called the most perfect speech that has ever been delivered by mortal man, which is truly astonishing when we remember that he was born in a hovel in abject poverty and had very, very little formal education, and that he educated himself. And that even those that invited him to that occasion were not sure that he was up to it. And yet, who can ever forget those words? Well, it has been said that Lincoln is immortal in the memory of his countrymen, for on the battlefield of Gettysburg, this is what he said. 67 years ago. And here he personifies our nation into an individual from his conception, his birth, his consecration or dedication, his life, his mortal struggles, his rebirth, and his immortal life thereafter. Our fathers brought forth on this continent a new nation, conceived in liberty and dedicated to the proposition that all men are created equal. Now we are engaged in a great civil war, testing whether that nation or any nation so conceived and so dedicated can long endure. We are met on a great battlefield of that war, and we've come to dedicate a portion of that field as a final resting place for those who here gave their lives that this nation might live. It is altogether fitting and proper that we should do this, but in a larger sense, we cannot dedicate, we cannot consecrate, we cannot hallow this ground. Those brave men, living and dead, who struggled here have consecrated it far above our poor power to add or detract. The world will little note nor long remember what we say here, but it can never forget what they did here. It is for us, the living, rather, to be dedicated here to the unfinished work which they who fought here have thus far so nobly advanced. It is rather for us to be here dedicated to that great task remaining before us, that from these honored dead we take increased devotion to that cause for which they gave the last full measure of devotion, that we here highly resolve that these dead shall not have died in vain, but that this nation, under God, shall have a new birth of freedom, and that government of the people, by the people, and for the people shall not perish from this earth. Having finished his speech, Lincoln believed that it had been a complete failure, and it was only as the text was spread around the nation and around the world that the incredible encomiums began to pour in, and people began to form the opinion that this was indeed the greatest speech ever uttered by any mortal man. Now, the purpose of this message is not to exhume the bones and spirit of Abraham Lincoln to try to perform a spiritual autopsy. And when I ask the question, was Lincoln a Christian? This is simply another way of proclaiming the gospel, perhaps rather innovative way. But what I'm really concerned with is that as we go through the struggles that Lincoln went through spiritually, that we ask ourselves the deeper question, am I a Christian? That is the question most relevant today. And I would ask you, Was Lincoln indeed memorable in any other way than simply the memory of the nation? He is everlasting in the memory of our nation. But I would say to you that to be remembered by your own people, by your own nation, though that indeed is an honor, it is a pale substitute for the glorious bodily resurrection and immortal life that Jesus Christ offers to those that trust in him. Now, there is no doubt that opinions have been divided on this question. His first biographer presented Lincoln as a complete skeptic and a total infidel. And yet, on the other hand, Father Chiniqui, a former Roman Catholic priest, said that Lincoln was the perfect type of Christian. Now, that, I think, is extraordinarily ironic, that one could be at the same time a complete skeptic and the most perfect type of a Christian. What is the truth? What was the real spiritual nature of Lincoln? Well, he certainly was conceived in the midst of spiritual intensity. In 1809, in Kentucky, a religious revival was taking place of the type which is associated with the name of Peter Cartwright, who was the preacher at that time. Amazingly, when Lincoln was grown, he ran in a political contest with the Reverend Peter Cartwright. But in the midst of this prayer meeting, suddenly a young man leaped to his feet and began to dance around and sing. And in a few minutes, a woman also jumped up and began to do the same thing. And thus, we see that Tom Lincoln and Nancy Hanks met for the first time in the midst of this extraordinary religious fervor. Abraham Lincoln was born the 16th president of the United States. Though he was born in the midst of religious fervor, dedicated by his mother and taught the Word of God, brought up in a religious atmosphere, his stepmother took him, rather his mother took him and his sister Sarah to the Pigeon Creek Hard Shell Baptist Church. It was a plain little church with a pail of water at one end. I'm not sure what that was for. And a simple lectern at the other. And there he heard the Word of God preached in a very stern fashion. He heard such words as foreordination, predestination, justification, sanctification, the new birth. And there they were, Abraham and Sarah, sitting right on the front row, listening to it all. Lincoln strove mightily to keep the commandments of God. Does that make him a Christian? Well, this is what he said, quote, "I am not a Christian. God knows I would be one." But he said, "I do not read the Bible the same way as those ministers in Springfield who are opposing me for election." And unfortunately, in fellowship in Springfield, rather, he fell into a fellowship with some agnostic and skeptical friends who gave him a copy of Volney's Ruins, a great book of unbelief, by the way, which has been almost totally repudiated and refuted in every single point since then. And Volney attacked viciously and articulately the scriptures. And this book had a tremendous negative and chilling effect upon Lincoln's boyhood faith. What was Lincoln like when he was a young man? One lady told me that I should tell the folks some of these details because ladies like to hear these little personal things. Well, this is what another young lady had to say to him when he was a young man. She said, "You are illiterate, self-opinionated, overbearing, and abominably ill-mannered." She was a sweet thing. Well, what did Lincoln do? He went to the scriptures, which his mother had taught him. He still had his mother's Bible, and he began to read the Sermon on the Mount and other passages in the Bible about what a man ought to be. And God began to mold and change this prairie lawyer. Was he illiterate, as she said? Well, he became the most literary president that the world has ever known. His Gettysburg Address is, as I said, called the most perfect speech that has ever been uttered by mortal man, anywhere, at any time. And in my opinion, it is less magnificent than his second inaugural address. Was he overbearing and proud? He became undoubtedly the humblest president that we ever had. He spent many hours crying out to God, whom he certainly believed in, and in the providence of God all of his life, and sought from God help in all of the various struggles that he went through. But still, though he was humble, he still did not know Christ as his Savior. Ward Lamon, law partner of Lincoln, private secretary when he was in the White House, and his personal bodyguard for years, said this: "The melancholy that dripped from Lincoln was due to his want of religious faith." No, Lincoln was, sad to say, not a Christian. His life was filled with tragedy. His beloved mother died when he was but 9 years old. His sister Sarah then died. The woman that he loved, Ann Rutledge, he could never have. He was married to a woman who constantly criticized him. She harped and nagged and fault found over and over again. His response was simply to stay away as much as he could, a response that many men have done also. And she could see nothing good in this man, though he has come to be loved by most all of the world. Mary Todd Lincoln wasn't concerned with any of these things. She said he had terrible faults. He walked with his toes down, looked like an Indian, she said. He stooped when he walked. There was nothing good to be found about this man. Poor lady, she never saw anything good in that man who has come to be admired by so many. Poor lady. Poor Abraham. But when the greatest tragedy of his life occurred, when his little son Willie, who was the apple of his eye, was stricken with a severe illness and then died, it broke his heart completely. In fact, Lincoln celebrated, or remembered rather, that death every Thursday for a good period after that. He would not work on that day. All he did was weep and mourn for his lost son. He spent many hours alone crying out to God. He was so depressed over the losses of the soldiers in the various battles. One evening, his friends left him alone by the fireside. He had his elbows on his knees and his head in his hands, and he was praying. And they came back the next morning. He was still sitting exactly in the same position, with his elbows on his knees and his face in his hands. And they overheard him saying, oh God, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. He felt the anguish of the families who had lost sons, perhaps more than any other president ever has. And yet here was a man who in this life was nothing but melancholy, and yet he always had a story, a joke, or an anecdote to lift the spirits of others, even though his spirit was always overclouded with melancholy. There was no doubt that he believed in God and in his providence. In fact, he said at a cabinet meeting one time, he took off his battered top hat, put it on the table and pulled a slip of paper out from it and said, "Gentlemen, I made a vow to Almighty God that if he would give to our army victory at Antietam, that I would emancipate the slaves." And he threw the paper containing the first draft of the Emancipation Proclamation on the table. It was no doubt the death of his son Willie that had struck him the hardest blow. As I said, he grieved every Thursday over that. He said to the nurse, who was a believer, who tried to encourage him, "Oh, that I had the faith that you have. I will try to take my grief to God, but it is so hard. It is so hard." Shortly thereafter, Dr. Francis Vinton, rector of Trinity Church in New York, came to Washington. Being an acquaintance of the family, he was invited to the White House. And when he was told about Lincoln's memorial every Thursday and his mourning, he confronted him very directly. And he said to him, "It was not right for him to continue to mourn thus over his son. Your son is not dead, he is alive in paradise. Do you remember the passage in the Gospels? God is a God not of the dead, but of the living." And then Lincoln, who was sitting there as in a stupor, caught at the word which the pastor had said, "Your son is alive." And he said, exclaiming, "Alive? Alive? Surely you mock me." "No, sir, believe me," replied Dr. Vinton, "your son is alive. It is a most comforting doctrine of the church, and it is founded upon the words of Christ himself." And Lincoln leaped up from his chair and threw his arms around the neck of the pastor and began to weep uncontrollably, sobbing out the word, "Alive, alive, alive." And that moment there began a change in Lincoln's life. A change which even his wife, Mary Todd, could see. A change that was to be culminated on November 19, 1863, the day that Lincoln traveled by train to say a few words at the dedication of the cemetery in Gettysburg. Shortly before his death, in speaking to a clergyman from Illinois who asked Lincoln this question, "Mr. President, do you love Jesus?" Lincoln paused and then solemnly replied, "When I left Springfield, I asked the people to pray for me, but I was not a Christian. When I went to Gettysburg and saw the graves of the thousands of our soldiers, I then and there consecrated myself to Christ. Yes, I do love Jesus." November 19, 1863, his second birth. Though only a year and a half before he died, Abraham Lincoln, there at Gettysburg, became a Christian. He consecrated himself to Christ and found at long length the peace of God that comes to those that trust in the Savior. Yes, Abraham Lincoln was a Christian. But, my friend, are you? May we pray. Heavenly Father, there are many here who are striving to keep your commandments, thinking that that will make them a Christian. Like Lincoln, they are thus deceived. There are those who are striving to make themselves better clay in your hands, and yet they do not know that all of their struggles and efforts and piety will never make them acceptable to thee. Help them to see their weakness as Lincoln did, to see their helplessness to save themselves and to cast themselves upon thy cross and consecrate their lives to thee, that they may, being justified by faith in Christ, find peace with God. We ask in his name. Amen.
Have you come to the place in your spiritual life where you know for certain that you'll be with God in heaven someday? If not, I urge you, don't let another day go by. As Dr. Kennedy said in his closing prayer, I hope that you no longer trust in your own efforts to gain access to heaven, but that you'll trust in Jesus Christ alone for your hope for eternal life. If you're ready to do that, pray this prayer with me right now saying, Lord Jesus Christ, I know that I have fallen short of your perfect standard, and I'm sorry for my sins of thought, word, and deed, and I repent of them right now. Please forgive me, come into my life, and transform me so that I may live a life pleasing to you. I place my trust in you alone for my salvation. Thank you. In your name I pray. Amen. I hope you prayed that prayer just now, and if you did, we have a gift we'd like to send you. It's the book written by Dr. Kennedy for new believers. As you read Beginning Again, you'll learn how to study the Bible, how to pray, and even how to tell others about how they can know Christ as their Savior and Lord too. To receive your copy, just write to the address on your screen or call our toll-free number. And be sure to ask for Beginning Again. God bless you as you do.
So much of our true history has been wiped away by political correctness. The Christianity of vital historical figures like Abraham Lincoln is ignored or even denied altogether by some. We at D. James Kennedy Ministries are committed to following in the footsteps of Dr. Kennedy, standing for truth and defending your freedom. If you would like a copy of this incomparable message for your library or to share with others, we will send you a DVD or CD copy for your generous gift towards the ongoing work of this ministry. Simply write to us at D. James Kennedy Ministries, Box 11164, Fort Lauderdale, Florida 33339, or call toll-free 888-332-3069, or go online to djkm.org. Friends, we are in the midst of a financial crisis and are facing the distinct possibility of having to cut back on our television productions and our broadcast outlets. Please don't let that happen. This is a pivotal moment in American history, and our voice is needed now more than ever. So please, write to us at D. James Kennedy Ministries, Box 11164, Fort Lauderdale, Florida 33339, or call toll-free 888-332-3069, or go online to djkm.org to give your most generous donation. I'm Frank Wright. Thanks for joining us on this edition of Kennedy Classics. We'll see you next time.
This has been a production of D. James Kennedy Ministries.